Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Hugh Grant, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude, Dennis McCormick. To see all of our coverage from COP29, go to democracynow.org and all the social media platforms. We're right there. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis St. Paul, online and archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
I can't even recall a book that I read by a Native author when I was a little kid. In the past 20 years, I would say there's just kind of been like this excitement and this really big need for Indigenous literature. And the stories have always been around and they've always been told, but now I think that they are becoming more commonplace.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Co-Primo, Meet Gwaich, for joining us today. Native Lights is a podcast and radio show, but it's a lot more than that. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have captivating conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. I'm talking artists, doctors, educators, language warriors, you name it. They have a wonderful mixture of passions. So we talk to them about their gifts and how they share their gifts with the community. And it all centers around finding purpose in our lives and amplifying Native voices. How you doing, Leah? What's going on?
I am doing all right. Just enjoying the season.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing my relaxation breathing.
Oh, really?
Trying to get outside, look at nature and water. How about you?
I also like looking at nature and water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited because I have next week off. I'm going to relax a bit. Treat thyself.
With fine leather goods?
Yes. Leather-bound books and burgundy colors. Mm-hmm. I'm just joking. But yeah, it'll be good. Just got through election season. Stressful. The constant grind of it all. So it's good to take a break every now and then. So if you're ever feeling it, folks, you know, take some time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Besides seeing my sister's mini documentary thing, which is going to be awesome.
Is there anything special you're going to do?
You know, not a whole lot. Just getting caught up on some things outside of work and just relaxing a bit, you know.
Oh, what?
I don't have any plans on going anywhere. January, Maria is going on a work trip to Budapest, so I'm going to be going along with her, you know, exploiting that a little bit. So it's going to be great. So no big travel until then, but that'll be enough big travel. I'll probably cram in some phrases a couple days beforehand. But
you are. Wow. How are you preparing for that?
I've been, you know, watching those things to do in Hungary and Budapest and all that stuff. It'll be fun. I had to get my passport, had to sit at the DMV for a couple hours. It was good. Good times.
Oh, hey. Sometimes you just zone out and lock in and, you know, when you need to sit and do that. Last night, I actually had a travel class to prepare to travel to Japan, which you have been to.
Oh, you're going to Japan.
But there was a virtual class. Yeah, because, you know, Marvin has been learning the Japanese language, so he's planning a trip for us at some point. So,
oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, a little international travel.
It's great.
Yeah, we're pretty excited.
I will be interested to see how that all unfolds.
Yeah, me too.
Got to take him to the Sega spot with all the games in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things to see, of course. Yep.
So pretty exciting. But I am also very excited to chat today. We have a great guest.
Yeah.
Talia Miracle. Talia Miracle is enrolled with the Ho-Chunk Tribe of Winnebago And she's a program manager at the Little Free Library promoting book access for Indigenous communities. And there's this really neat program called the Indigenous Library Program. And Cole, I know you didn't get an opportunity to chat with her, so I'm going to share my conversation with you that I had with her. So please enjoy.
Let's go.
All right. Bonjour, Talia. Nice to see you.
Hi, Leah.
Thank you so much for taking time to join us on Native Lights. It's just me and you here today. But first, I will have you introduce yourself and where you're joining us from.
Yeah, my name is Talia Miracle. I am Ho-Chunk. I'm part of the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. And today I am talking to you from my dining room in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Excellent. And how are you doing and how's your family doing?
I am doing well. I have got about halfway to go through a pregnancy. So I have been good. I've been tired and excited and feeling all of the emotions. Hmm. I've also got a little three-year-old boy at home, and we're getting him used to the idea of becoming a big brother. We just got another little kitten at home. We've got a lot of changes happening right now, and it's all going really well.
Mm-hmm. What's the kitten's name?
Her name is Stormy, because she's gray, and she's tiny and running around and jumping off of things and bringing a lot of good energy, I feel like, that we need right now.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, usually I ask what's on the top of your mind these days, but since we're talking about books today, I'm wondering if you are reading anything in particular that you'd like to share.
I am actually reading Becoming Little Shell. Mm. So it is a book by the current Poet Laureate of Montana. His name is Chris Latray, and I actually had the honor of meeting him recently at Red Lake Nation College, their site in Minneapolis. And so he did a reading from his book. Milkweed, the publisher, gave away books to everybody who attended the event. And so I am kind of just starting that out. So far, it's a really great story about kind of just reconnecting to your roots. When he grew up, he didn't even realize that he was Native American. That part of his life was always kind of hidden from him. And so the book goes in to explore his journey, finding that out as an adult later in life.
Wow, that sounds like it might resonate with many people.
Yes, that was exactly my thought as well. And he spoke at the Red Lake Nation College event, and he said he kind of didn't think of himself as a poet or a writer, but so far, I mean, the pages that I've read have been really inspiring. I think of him as a poet and a writer. A very good one.
Who needs to, you know, put barriers on things or box yourself into any one description?
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, let's kind of jump into your work and what you do. So you are a program manager at Little Free Library. Can you tell me more about Little Free Library and your role there?
So Little Free Library is a nonprofit organization. We're located in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we just want to provide more book access to everyone. So we have a global network of Little Free Library stewards. Stewards are the people that own the Little Free Library boxes. They're the ones that care for them. And then more specifically, I manage our Indigenous Library program. So it is one of our grant programs, and we provide book sharing boxes and really amazing books where they're most needed on tribal lands. And we work with Indigenous communities and organizations that serve Indigenous communities all across the U.S. and Canada. So it's a grant program. Everything that we provide is all at no cost. The books are written by Indigenous authors. They span different genres and age groups. And really, we just want to strengthen Indigenous communities. We want to inspire readers. We want to make book access more easy. And we just want to support positive literacy outcomes. And it's the best job.
Sounds like it. How long has the Indigenous Library Program been around?
So we relaunched the program about a year and a half ago. Before that, it was under a different name, and we really reworked the program to make it just better kind of in every way. We were really intentional about even like the different types of library models that we offered. So like, for example, we offer one that's made of an unfinished wood. Community members can decorate the library. They can really kind of make it their own. And so that's really great to see what kind of creative ideas people come up with for their libraries. And then we also offer the really great curated book collection too.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Talia Miracle. Talia Miracle is enrolled in the Ho-Chunk Tribe of Winnebago and is a program manager at the Little Free Library, promoting book access for Indigenous communities with the Indigenous Library Program.
Can you tell me about some of the books that you share out?
Like I said, I'm in Minnesota, so we do include some local authors in our book collection. We've got some Louise Erdrich books. Chickadee is one that's part of the bundle. And then we also have some Don Quigley books. You might be familiar with the JoJo McCoon's series for young readers. We've got The Firekeeper's Daughter, which I feel like is another one that everybody knows and loves. We've got Water Protectors. Just, yeah, like I said, a bunch of different genres. But the one thing that we keep consistent is that they are all written by Indigenous authors.
I love once you start listing off names and titles, and we really have a great number of authors and books. I know that hasn't always been the case.
Yes, not at all. I even think about like when I was younger, I can't even recall a book that I read by a Native author when I was a little kid. In the past 20 years, I would say there's just kind of been like this excitement and this really big need for Indigenous literature. And the stories have always been around and they've always been told, but now I think that they are becoming more commonplace in our society. And that also makes me really excited, just because Indigenous books aren't just for Indigenous readers, they're for everyone. And so I've seen, you know, like a lot of curiosity happening, a lot of questions, and just like a lot of education and knowledge being shared. And that also makes me really excited about my role as well, is just being able to like share our cultures with people who might not be familiar with it, or who maybe have had like questions, or maybe like have heard myths about things. It's just nice to be able to share that, say, here, like read this book and you'll have all of your questions or some of your questions answered.
Can you tell me where some of these Indigenous focused Little Free Libraries are, the ones that are, you know, sitting on the post there?
We've got a couple in Minnesota. The ones that people probably would be able to find really easily are the library at NAC, and NAC is the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis. They have a beautiful library that they had somebody on staff decorate. It's a red library box. There's all of these gorgeous, colorful designs on it. That one's right outside of their clinic. We also have a box at the American Indian Family Center in St. Paul. They also had some youth paint portraits along each side of their library. So it's also really gorgeous. We've got a couple of residents who have applied, and they've received one for their home. Kind of just walking through random neighborhoods in St. Paul and Minneapolis, you could spot one too. We've got some up in Duluth. We've got them kind of all over the state. And actually, Little Free Library has an app where you can see where these libraries are located. If you wanted to go like find a book or put a book in a library, you can use that app and see where they are and see which ones are close to you or close to your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And I saw a recent one went up.
Yes. We also recently celebrated a launch at the Red Lake Nation College site in Minneapolis. They have a main campus up in Red Lake, and now they've opened their other site in Minneapolis. It is right across from US Bank Stadium. I mean, it's literally across the street. It's a gorgeous building. They kind of restored a few really old buildings, and so like kept a lot of the original charm and architecture, but it's a great space. And they had, like I mentioned, the Montana Poet Laureate Chris Latray there to do a poetry workshop. And then we also unveiled the library, and then students and staff just came and picked out books, and we got to eat together and just, yeah, celebrate Native authors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a beautiful building, what they did with the older buildings there.
There's so much sunlight in there and everything. It just feels so peaceful and so calm in that building. I just am so happy that those students get to go to school there and like be in that space every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, can you tell me a bit about how you got into this line of work?
So I've worked in nonprofits for many years, and I have also previously worked as a preschool teacher and a literacy tutor. So it was kind of all those experiences that came together. And when I saw that Little Free Library was hiring for this role, I had recently had my first son, and I was just really thinking about kind of what I wanted to do for him and what I wanted to do with my life that could be really meaningful for him and just for Native and Indigenous people and our communities. And I wasn't quite feeling that in my current role. The reason I wasn't is because I was helping and working with people from Indigenous communities, but it was only a small part of my job, and I really wanted to make that my whole job. I just felt like that was something that was really important to me. When you have children, I feel like you start thinking about your legacy and your future generations and past generations, and you just have all of these feelings and thoughts that maybe you've never had before. I didn't have them ever this strongly. Helping and working with Indigenous communities is something that just I always knew was important to me, and I wanted to dedicate more time to it. I was also just a really big reader when I was a little kid. My dad was just a voracious reader. We bonded over books when I was younger, and it was just always just like a really special thing for me. And also just recognizing that, you know, there are kiddos growing up in houses where there aren't a lot of books available. I just felt so strongly about wanting to be able to provide that for more kids. And again, when I was little, like I didn't have these amazing books by Indigenous authors. They were either telling inaccurate stories, or, you know, like my story wasn't there, or they were talking about Indigenous people in the past tense. And so that really confused me as a little kid. And I don't want other little kids to have to like have kind of like those thoughts of insecurity and just confusion around what they're reading. And there's just so many great stories to celebrate now that I just want to make sure that we can share those with as many people as possible.
Totally. And what keeps you motivated then, you know, day in and day out to keep going? Because, you know, it might be similar, you know, with journalism and storytelling, that there is like the great, like fun part, the talking with folks, the sharing stories part of the work. And that's like only a part of it. You know, that's kind of a small part of it. And then there's the housekeeping and the, what I'm sure, like grant proposals, the things that keep the lights on and the doors open and things like that. What keeps you motivated to keep going?
I think what keeps me most motivated is seeing all of the other great work that's happening in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, but in Minneapolis especially. We have such a rich, diverse Indigenous community here. And I feel like as Native and Indigenous people, we have been a community that has been intentionally under-resourced. We experience so many just disparities with health and with education, with socioeconomic things, and just knowing that I'm able to provide something, a service and an opportunity that could potentially be life-changing for people is really powerful for me. It's really inspirational. Being able to give back to my community is what's very important. I've always kind of been in like helper roles in my whole life. It's kind of like what I naturally gravitate towards. And then becoming a mom has just been a huge part of what has kept me motivated, just because I'm thinking about what I want for my son and what probably every parent wants for their child. And that's, they want the best and they want them to celebrate themselves. They want to celebrate their culture. And they really just want them to grow up and be kind, knowledgeable, strong people. And so that's, I mean, that's something that I think about every day. And so, yeah, when I'm doing the grant proposals, when I'm sitting behind a computer, which is not my favorite thing, when I'm answering emails, you know, that is part of the job. And I'm just reminding myself that that is part of kind of bringing the greater good through this role. When I get to be out in community and provide books and provide libraries and go to like events, but like the one at Red Lake Nation College, being in communities, kind of, that is like my why for doing this.
I totally get that. Well, I mean, my kid's 11, so I'm like trying to reduce screen time. And on the other hand, I'm on the screen at least 8 hours a day for work. So it is nice to crack a book.
Mm-hmm.
And read. I know sometimes I have to articulate that to him, that I want him to read an analog book and not a digital book.
Yeah.
Open it up.
I mean, it is an important skill that young kids are losing. Even when I was a literacy tutor, I worked with pre-K kids. So these were, you know, kids ages 3, 4, and 5. And we would crack open a book, and some kids would just start scrolling on a page because that's what they were used to doing. I had to teach them the skill of turning the page of a book rather than scrolling. It's shocking to see somebody that young who's already got ingrained in them, you know, the skills of using a phone or an iPad, but not something as simple as turning a page.
I have never heard that before.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Keep telling your 11-year-old, analog books, they're important. We need to keep reading them. And it's a skill that you have to learn. And so keep strengthening that skill.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I have accidentally done something similar. I don't know. I have like a book or something and there's a photo and I try to do the pinch zoom.
Yes. I mean, yeah, I feel probably everybody's done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard not to. I mean, our lives are all digital. A lot of our work depends on screens. I mean, that's, you and I are looking at each other on a screen right now. And not to say that like reading books on your phone or a Kindle or something, a screen, is terrible either. But yeah, I feel like there's something really special about holding like an actual book and like feeling the pages and smelling that book.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today I'm speaking with Talia Miracle. Talia Miracle is enrolled in the Ho-Chunk Tribe of Winnebago. She's a program manager at the Little Free Library, promoting book access for Indigenous communities with the Indigenous Library Program. What sort of feedback have you gotten from community about the Indigenous Library Program?
I have received amazing feedback. I've had some stories that have brought me to tears. People are so grateful that something like this exists. A lot of the communities that we work with, for example, are really rural. So we work with a lot of First Nations communities in Canada. They don't have a library, or if they do, they have to travel to a larger city to get to that library. Library cards there aren't free, so then they have to pay to get the library card. There's just so many barriers to literacy. A lot of what I hear is that we don't have books, we don't have literacy resources, we don't have transportation to get to the library. If we do have a library, it's only open X amount of hours a week. And another thing that I hear a lot is that, you know, like we don't have books that reflect us, that reflect our experience, that reflect our culture. And so even making a difference, I've heard a lot of great feedback about our book collection that we offer, just because it touches on so many things that are important to us as Indigenous people. So there's a lot of people that appreciate that we offer books that include Indigenous languages, touching on language revitalization. Like, that's such a huge topic now. And it's so amazing to see, you know, like little kiddos speaking their language. And I mean, it just, that can bring tears to my eyes, is when you see a little kid just sharing those words and speaking those words, just generational knowledge that's being passed on. So we can do that through this program a little bit. We also have books that discuss like Indigenous foods and pre-colonized foods. So we can talk about food sovereignty. And then even, you know, like young adult books. So fiction books, like Dawn Quigley is an author that I mentioned earlier. I mean, she just has amazing young adult books that focus on Indigenous characters. You know, not as like an outsider secondary character, but like as somebody who is the main point of the story. And, you know, going through the issues that teenagers go through, it's really comforting to kids to be able to see that represented in books. We've had great feedback altogether.
That's so great. I can imagine. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure to ask about mentors, Talia. Did you find yourself leaning on mentors as you went through navigating your career?
Yes. So I feel like through each step of my career, I have had somebody in a mentor role. It's really important to me to be able to see really strong, educated Native women in leadership roles. So no, this person is not a mentor to me, but somebody that I've been finding a lot of inspiration from lately is Peggy Flanagan. Before we knew the outcome of the election, I had thought about what it would be like if she were into a higher leadership position in the state of Minnesota. Like, what would that mean for Indigenous communities? So while that didn't happen, it was really great to consider the possibilities of that. And I was also recently at a nonprofit conference, and she was the keynote speaker. And I don't know how they got her there for this keynote speaker when she was still campaigning. This was also prior to the outcome of the election, but she just had, you know, like 500 people in this room completely hanging on every word that she was saying. And she was just really speaking to a room full of nonprofit professionals and sharing a little bit of her personal experience too, like utilizing social services and growing up needing to access some services that now she's a really big proponent of. And I hope that every little girl gets to see somebody like Peggy and just kind of lets them see that, yeah, everything is possible.
All right, Talia Miracle, getting literature out to communities all over the place.
Yeah, it's great to hear from her and just how she's connecting youth to that, you know, something that she was not necessarily able to access. So it's great to see her and hear about what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Miigwech, Talia Miracle, program manager at the Little Free Library, getting Indigenous books out to communities. Excellent work.
I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawabamin.
Gigawabamin.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
KFAI is proud to present Pond at the First Avenue Main Room on Saturday, November 23rd.
Pond is one of the most versatile, inquisitive, and accomplished bands in the psychedelic rock vanguard and have released their 10th album, Stung. Opening the show is New Zealand artist Phaser Days. Tickets for Pond can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
It's football season, and KFAI is a place with all the action.
We'll brush you with music.
We'll blackout repetition.
We give heavy rotation.